in our N100.4 FM, 10 minutes after 8 o'clock. Coming up very shortly, we're going to be taking a look at a piece of legislation that is being proposed by the French President Emmanuel Macron. It does indicate very bizarre language, by the way. It talks about separatist Islam. In fact, you know, they blatantly call it a French version of Islam. It will, for instance, bar Islamic schools and homeschooling. It will bar requests for instance, at schools, actual secular schools that serve pork. It won't, for instance, have a halal section or a halal offering for Muslim learners. A whole lot of other things. This is the same French country that, or the same French people and its country that banned the burqa in 2010, the veil, the headscarf. They later, a year later, banned the prayers of Muslims on the streets for Jumu'ah. And a few other things. And, you know, we see a very strong anti-Islam sentiment. In fact, you know, quite bizarrely, you know, the opposition leader in France recently said that those that do pray in the street for Jumu'ah, right? So when the mosque is full and some of them pray on the street for Jumu'ah, and Christian Lang, you know, or rather Marianne Le Pen, she compared Muslims praying the streets to Nazi occupation. Then you have people like Anne Christian Lang, who is a member of Emmanuel Macron, the president of France's political party, walking out of a parliamentary hearing because a student leader had decided to wear a scarf for that hearing. So we see, you know, and I don't want to call it secularism in French, that is on steroids, but a right-wing effort by the French president, you know, to essentially recodify Islam, to sanitize Islam according to their own warped understandings. And sanitize we used very subjectively to the French's own liberal neo-right-wing colonial understanding. So we're going to be talking about that very, very shortly. And in fact, one of the issues that we're going to be teasing out here is whether or not we are looking at the face here of a continued rise of right-wing nationalism in France that could see 6 million Muslims under threat. And so it's no secret then that the French president Emmanuel Macron thinks that Islam is in crisis. He is even promising no concessions in the country's drive to push religion of education and the public sector out of the mainstream. This, he says, will be done via a plan that will defend France's secular values against what he terms as Islamist radicalism. He announced that the government would present a bill in December to strengthen a 1905 law that officially separated the church and the state in France. The law permits people to belong to any faith of their choosing, but outward displays of religious affiliation would be banned in schools and in the public service. For more on the impact of this obstruction to freedom of religion, we are now joined by the co-founder of the Justice and Freedoms for All Committee in France, Yasser Ilouati. Yasser, very good morning to you. Thank you so very much for talking to Radio 786. What do you suppose we read here from this attempt to essentially drive a wedge amongst Muslims in France?
Thank you very much for having me. Well, we are talking about a president who is preparing his re-election campaign, which will take place in a year and a half. So he knows that he failed economically. The staggering figures of unemployment, of rising poverty, the Yellow Vest movement, the multiple corruption scandals affecting his own administration, the fact that he had a catastrophic management of the COVID-19 crisis, and on top of it, he's asking French people to pay the bill instead of his rich billionaires. For example, in France, 81 billion euros a year are taken away from the country in the tax evasion. So Emmanuel Macron knows he cannot run his campaign on socio-economic issues. So he had to do what all failed politicians have been doing for the past 25 years, which is to create a Muslim problem and make it their own crusade. Under François Hollande, it was radicalization. Before that, it was with Nicolas Sarkozy, it was Islamic fundamentalism. And today, Emmanuel Macron had to brand himself and to distinguish himself by coining the term separatism, which is deeply colonial because that term was used in the colonial era. and after he used that term in the aftermath of the anti-police brutality and anti-systemic racism in the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement in the US, instead of him addressing the demands of blacks and Arabs demanding equal opportunity, the end of police violence and discrimination, he called them separatists. A few weeks later, his Minister of Interior spoke of people becoming acting like wild beasts, en sauvagement in French. So we see here that instead of addressing social issues that have been widely documented, he's only creating a new problem, what I call Islamo-diversion. So you create a Muslim problem in order not to address real socio-economic issues.
And for him to have done so, in order for him to do so, it would mean that there must be a strong Islamophobic, anti-Islam sentiment running among the French population. Has there been any significant shift, the French people, in how they view Islam?
Well, if you spend 30 years, campaigning on Islamophobia and turning the 10, 11, 12% of the population as the enemy within on the grounds that they are a threat to national security, a threat to national identity, a threat to the national economy, and that they are inherently unable to integrate in French society, you end up making a lie, a truth that people believe and buy into, whether because it is convenient, so they have someone to blame for their own misery and failures, or because they end up believing it and they are spoon-fed this blatant racism in a republic that has been deeply colonial. Now, for the Emmanuel Macron to do it, we have to understand that if he does it, it's because he knows the message will be carried, meaning that people will buy into it. For example, if you have people told over and over that their enemies are Muslims, that means they will listen to you. So some people can be fed up with that. Some people will say, listen, we are fed up with this anti-Muslim rhetoric. How about you answer us about our missing jobs, our rising poverty, the fact that our kids will not have a bright future, that we are living under a lockdown, and that your catastrophic failure to handle the COVID-19 crisis led to thousands of deaths. So you have both possibilities, that there is a rampant Islamophobia in France, which would be normal, given that France has been among the major colonial powers that have occupied most parts of Africa and Asia and some parts of the Caribbean. But on top of it, when you have a normalized anti-Muslim discourse, normalized in the political debate, in the media, both private and public, what you just mentioned is quite possible. And of course, Emmanuel Macron is trying to put that in his favor, so it would play into his favor again for him to run for re-election.
And we've seen, even in recent times, the efforts to tease, I guess, the Muslim community quite a bit. And this, again, in the type of cartoons that were published by the Charlie Hebdo. Do you suppose that we now see a deliberate taunting, by essentially white, nationalism in France to solicit, I guess, something from the Muslim community?
Well, there is definitely a continuous provocation of Muslims in France. And French Muslims have shown tremendous patience and tremendous resilience in the face of daily Islamophobia. Now, when we speak of racism, it's not only a theoretical idea. We're talking about discrimination in transportation, in housing, access to school, access to healthcare, constant harassment in the media. Not a week goes by without Muslims being insulted. And of course, Charlie Hebdo, under the pretext of freedom of speech, republishes cartoons to make fun of what Muslims hold as sacred. Now, my answer to that is, of course, freedom of speech is sacred. But in that case, if Charlie Hebdo have freedom of speech, Muslims should have freedom of speech to answer Charlie Hebdo on an equal footing. And might I add, if Charlie Hebdo was truly about making fun of anything without repercussions, how about they start making fun of the people who got killed in their own newsroom? Of course, that would be unacceptable. You don't make fun of dead people. And the people who were killed in Charlie Hebdo got murdered for no acceptable reason whatsoever. But we see that there are double standards when it comes to freedom of speech. You can make fun of Muslims and what they hold dear, because you know Muslims do not have the platforms to answer you. They don't have the political leverage to pressure you to withdraw those cartoons. Charlie Hebdo will never make fun of the rich and powerful in this country. Make no mistake about it.
Let's talk about some of the provisions of the proposed law. We look at what's certainly been termed as almost a different, as you put it, the separatist Islam that Emmanuel Macron is talking about at this time. But we see particular remarks such as a European Islam, a French Islam. Now, for those that know the tradition, there's only one type of Islam, and it is the one, you know, as promulgated in the Quran. So how do we then see this in a broader, you know, attempt to, I guess, polarize what, you know, they think Islam is and what they wish to, I guess, push down the mainstream Islam narrative?
Well, the French government, you know, this current administration and the ones before it, they know that not a single Muslim organization, nor Muslim leader or representative called for separatism from France. That's a hoax and that's a fantasy. But they had to demonize a group of people to justify their repression. You know, the French wouldn't have deported the Jews without accusing them of being the enemy within and threatening national identity, national security, and national economy. So what was done to Jews a century ago is being repeated against Muslims today. And that's blatant. It is clear that Islamophobia in France has replaced anti-Semitism. Now, for the French government to pretend that they are going to create their own version of Islam, first, that's none of their business. It's a secular country. And there are laws that prohibit the state from interfering in religious affairs. But, and this is the responsibility of Muslims, if they allow politicians to tell them what is the good Islam and which one is the bad, if they allow the French government to interfere in how they are organized as communities, when the French government will never interfere, for example, in the Catholic Church, despite the corruption and pedophilia scandals, they will never interfere in the Judaic faith, because the Judaic faith is well managed by their own communities, even if, for example, synagogues have been bringing Israeli recruiters to hire Jewish students so they could go kill Palestinians in the occupied territories. Nevertheless, what is unacceptable towards other minorities in France is totally acceptable for Muslims. Now, of course, we can blame the government for its deeply colonial approach to relationships with Muslims, but also Muslims have to be held accountable for the way they allow that to happen. And when we see the way Muslim communities are organized, be it in France or elsewhere, well, at some point, if you do not clean up your house today, one day or another, somebody else will clean it for you.
And strangely, this is, you know, a country that often, you know, appears to keep true to its colonial past in seeking to determine the values of other countries. It, you know, while the values of some of those countries may well cause quite a bit of debate, the French almost take the position that it needs to dictate the values of other countries and civilizations. Here we have a scenario where the French are saying that, you know, one could not even hold, for instance, a madrasa, that they now will close down. First of all, they won't give permission for madrasa schooling, Islamic schooling. And if it is the case, they will go and shut it down. On all accounts, the logic doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's because the greatest fear that the French government, the French state has, is that Muslims manage their own affairs. Now, when it comes to private Muslim schools, well, you cannot ban public schools to Muslim girls wearing a headscarf and expect them not to go to school, right? So they ban the headscarf in Muslim schools, which goes against the 1905 law on laïcité. The state is neutral, not users of state services, and in this case, public schools. Second, when Muslims have no other choice but to open private schools, they are banned from opening those schools and pressure is applied to shut them down. And on top of it, what Emmanuel Macron came up with was that they are going to put extreme limits on homeschooling. So that means in the midst of a pandemic, and you are a Muslim family, you know, public schooling has been highly degraded. You know, the public schooling system in France has lost its prestige and its values over the past 20 years. So you have a pandemic, you know public schools are no good for your child, you wanna go through the homeschooling system, and even with that, they will prevent you from doing it. If you open a private school, they will try to shut it down. If you have an organization, they can accuse you of separatism, which is not legally defined, which means they can accuse anyone of being a separatist to justify the shutting down of those organizations. So this is an outright war, not only on the French Constitution and the 1905 law of laïcité, but also an outright law against the very human rights and civil liberties of Muslims.
Yeah, I'd like to juxtapose what Emmanuel Macron is trying to do here and his actions and his views expressed in Lebanon, for instance. We do know that Lebanon had a very terrific blast, quite a tragedy, which has now further implicated and complicated the political system in that country. The country is trying to once again to come together to elect certainly a government. And on all accounts, I think, you know, even those political formations in Lebanon will agree that the political system is very complicated and largely a relic of the very French colonialism that took place in that part of the world. But we see here France push a very sharp tone in Lebanon, and we know that the politics in Lebanon is largely influenced by the different factions around religion, both Christianity and Muslim, and the different forms of Islam that's being practiced. How do you suppose we read what he's trying to do in Lebanon and his actions in France?
Well, France is behaving as if Lebanon belongs to it, the same way they still think that Africa belongs to them. Now, it's on the Lebanese people to defend their sovereignty and push back against this French interference. And of course, Lebanese affairs are the affairs of the Lebanese people, to whom I send my highest regards and support and human solidarity. But, you know, in no way whatsoever is Emmanuel Macron allowed to interfere not only in the domestic affairs of a foreign country, and on top of it, behave as if he is the savior who is going to bring to the table the different factions of the Lebanese population. That's none of his business. And I hope the Lebanese people will once and for all ask him to stop or keep him out of their personal affairs.
And so as we then try and understand where this is all going to go, there is an election looming, as you rightfully highlighted. Do you suppose that Emmanuel Macron would have the necessary, push from the electorate to push forward this particular legislation, given that, as you put it a bit earlier, there is a strong nationalistic, anti-Islam rhetoric that runs among the French population? And how will this impact, for instance, the issue of migration, particularly of a largely Arab Muslim population into France and into broader Europe?
Well, the question is quite broad, but I will try to answer it briefly. First, there is a nationalistic turn in French politics, because there are no answers to socio-economic issues. Under capitalism, you always go for order in favor of the ruling elite. And the ruling elite today is calling for capitalism to be maintained as the sole economic system. Now, for Emmanuel Macron to run for an election, he's to have some kind of resume. His resume is tarnished by his multiple failures. Now, the only solution for him is to delve into identity politics, nationalism, and of course, xenophobia and racism. But for that, there is Marine Le Pen for it. There is the far right. So right now, what is being done is to make sure the campaign is run solely as on identity politics, and Emmanuel Macron will position himself as the moderate defender of national identity and the economic interests. So we are going to be the election probably will be hijacked again, with two choices being imposed upon us, Marine Le Pen and Emmanuel Macron, the same way it was imposed upon us in 2017. And that's why Emmanuel Macron was elected with the majority of voters abstaining from voting, which means Emmanuel Macron came to power with a minority vote, because most voters did not go and voice their choices. Was what might happen in the upcoming election. We do it again, but this time, because the rhetoric of the far right has been normalized and carried and applied by the left, the right, and the center alike, people might decide to once and for all vote for Marine Le Pen. And that's a concrete possibility in France, unfortunately.
Thank you so very much for your analysis this morning. I do appreciate it. You go well.
Thank you, sir. You have a nice day.
Yasser Luati, there he is from the Justice and Freedoms for All Committee, where he is the co-founder, talking to us about the French seeking to deal with what they call Islamist radicalism, a French Islam, as it were, which is what the French President Emmanuel Macron is talking about.